من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
It is the day of the shahadat of our 10th Imam, Imam Naqi alayhi salatu wa salam.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Name is Ali, his kunya it's Abu al-Hasan al-Thalith, that is the Abu al-Hasan the third. And the famous names which the Imam has, one is Hadi, the other is Naqi. Born on the 2nd of Rajab, 2214 after Hijrah, and the ruler at that time it's Mutawakkil Abbasi. And Imam was forced to leave Medina in the year 243 after Hijrah, so that he is distanced and separated from his followers, the Shias, in Medina. He is brought to Samarra, to a garrison, to one of the military headquarters of that time, where Imam was arrested or was in house arrest for more than 20 years until he was poisoned. And he dies in his house or where he was kept in those garrisons and is laid to rest in that same place which is Samarra today. And the courtyard or the yard of that haram of Imam which is today was the house of the Imam, and he was also buried in his own house. And again, his mother, she is Samana Maghribiya, one of the noble and the pious women of that time, who fasted a lot throughout her life. And Imam, he says regarding his mother that she is one of the noble and one of those two special ones in the paradise, and she is one of those women who Shaitan could never find access to, and one of those women who knew the right of his son being the Imam. And so loud Imam had spoken about her. Duration of the life of the Imam, it's 41 years. He is the Imam for 33 years. That is, at the age of 8, he becomes the Imam. He gains the rank of Imamah. So all this is a little bit of the biography of the Imam. And it was as such that during the time of the Imam, during the life of the Imam, 6 of the Khulafa Abbasi were changed, one after the other. Each one of them was rushed and dispatched to the hell. The last of them was this Mu'taz. And after that, the dynasty of Abbasi also completed and finished. Now, those who wanted to ruin the Shias got ruined themselves, but the Shias remained more than ever, even after them. So all this, it's... Now, one of the beauties now, with reference to the akhlaq, to the sifat, to the fadail of the Imam, again, we need a lot of time. One of the assets that the Shias have is ziyarat Jamiat al-Kabira. This beautiful ziyarat is reported from our 10th Imam. Again, if you look into this ziyarat, it's a complete lesson of Imams, one of the great ulama. I believe it's Marhum Allama Amini or Marhum Kashif al-Ghita. They used to say that someone who understands Ziyarat Jami'a, he has understood the whole concept of Imamat. It's a whole lesson of Imam Shinasi. It's a whole lesson of knowing Imamat, the Ziyarat al-Jami'a. So a Ziyarat in text, if you look into it, someone who has got the ability to understand Arabic, he would say that each word of it can never be said by an ordinary human being. It is the word of a ma'asum and totally compatible with Quran. Every word of this ziyarat al-jami'ah. And again, how it happens is, in a person named Musa ibn Abdullah Nakhai, he comes to the Imam, the 10th Imam, and says that, Imam, if I was to address you, or if I was to address one of the infallible Imam, the Ma'sumeen, how do I address them? And Imam, he teaches this Ziyarat al-Jama'a to him, that this is the way you address the Imam. You can address any one of the A'imma with this Ziyarat. So Ziyarat al-Jama'at al-Kabira, again, if you have some time today, you look into this beautiful ziyara. It doesn't take long, about 15-20 minutes if you were to recite it. It's available online as well, with English translations. And it is a beautiful ziyarat. As-salamu alaykum ya ahla bayt al-nubuwa wa mawdha al-risala. Says that salam be upon you, you ahlul bayt of the Prophet. وَمَوْضِعُ الرِّسَالَةِ and the center point of prophethood, وَمُخْتَلَفَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ which is a place where the angels, they used to frequent a lot. وَمَهْبِتَ الْوَحْيِ وَمَأْدِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ the place where the wahi of Allah used to land, used to reveal, and the source of the knowledge, the source of the knowledge, etc., etc. It's quite a beautiful ziyarat. So one of the things that we ought to change in our life is that once in a while we recite these different ziyarat that we have. Now for example, for Ziyaratul Jami'a, the great ulama, they say that make it a habit to read it every day. Like Ziyarat Ashura, you recite every day. Now if every day is tough, at least once in a week. We should train ourselves with these beautiful ziyarat, and these ziyarat, they have a great impact on us. So we have to have a change in the vows that we have, in the mannat jo mangte hain, in all these things. It shouldn't stick to the famous surahs of Quran, Surah Ar-Rahman, Surah Yasin, etc. Or when it comes to providing a service to the center, only food stuff or niyaz, all that is good. But we shouldn't stick to what was being done for the past 50 years, 100 years. Bring a little bit of change. And even when it comes to the nuzurat that we have, it shouldn't be the same. For example, if someone's got a business, a grocery shop, if someone has got a mechanic shop, or a florist, for example, all these different businesses that we have, so to bring about a change in it, we should say that, God, out of the income that I will have in this month, a set amount of that I will help, for example, the mu'mineen with that, or the followers of Ahlul Bayt, I will be, or if there's a program over here, a service which is related to his business, to be as part of his nazr, to be as part of his vow. Now, all these are little things that we can bring about a little bit of change in the performance, even in the nuzurat and the vows that we have. Ziyaratul Jami'a, again, if you look into it, one of the phrases of it says that وَعَادَتُكُمُ الْإِحْسَانِ that is وَسَجِيَّتُكُمُ الْكَرَمِ. Adat means the practice, that is addressing the ma'asumeen. We say that your practice is ihsan, you do good. No matter how bad we are, if someone does approach you, it's all good that a person sees from Ahlul Bayt. وَسَجِيَّتُكُمُ الْكَرَمُ and your sajiyya, your character, your practice is that you just give. It's all benevolence that we see. It's all generosity which we see with Ma'sumeen. If you look into the seerah of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam, it says that once Imam was having his meal, Ashab were also there, and a dog passes by the Imam and comes and near the Imam. One of the Ashab, one of the companions, he wanted to hush that dog away from the Imam. Imam says, leave him, I don't want a living creature come to me and I don't give him anything. So even if it's a dog, they give. Now, with reference to mu'mineen, there is a special regard, a special eye. For example, in the mid-50s or 60s, during the time of Marhum Nawab Safavi, I believe it was the early times of the revolution, there was a reciter, a mimbari in Iran, very famous, very renowned, known as Nizam-e-Rashti. And his daughter says, now this was one of those great reciters who recited for Aba Abdullah, and when he recited, he wept, and no one was a match to him in that aza and crying for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein. He felt ill, and he knows that he's about to die. Says to his daughter that, come and sit by me, it's my last moments. And then says to his daughter that, hold my hand. The moment I squeeze your hand, make me sit. Because I've been loyal to my master Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, and I am positive and I'm sure that he won't be disloyal to me in these last moments of my life. And says to his daughter that the moment I squeeze your hand, make me sit. That is the sign that Aba Abdullah al-Hussein has come to me to welcome me, and this is the last moment of my life. And she says that I was sitting by my father, Nizam-i-Rashti. And then after a while, he squeezes her hand. She quickly makes him sit. And then with due respect, now he says that I don't want to meet my imam, my master, whilst I am lying on my bed. I want to meet him even although he's so sick, so ill. With due respect, she makes him sit, and then he stands and says, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, Ahmadi Aghajun, you've come my master. And then with a smile, he passes away. So, Ma'asumin Ziyarat Jama'a says that, وَغَادَتُكُمُ الْإِحْسَانِ وَسَجِيَّتُكُمُ الْكَرَمِ, that what we see from Ma'asumin, it's all generosity, it's all ihsan, it's all good. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala never distance us from Quran and Ahlul Bayt, no matter where in this world, in Barzakh and in Qiyamah. Coming back to our topic, that is the etiquettes of prayers, it was mentioned yesterday that one of the conditions that we ought to observe is tuma'nina, is that we have to be relaxed when we say our prayers. That is, these prayers should be offered with tranquility, with ease, with comfort. So again, it was mentioned that there is a face of the prayer and there is a core of the prayer. Face of the prayer is what we do. That is the recital, standing up, sitting down, sajda, ruku, tashahud, salam, etc. That is the shell of the prayer. And there is the inner core of the prayer, and that is that connection, that relationship, the bond which a person creates during his prayer. And it was mentioned that we have to be tranquil, we have to be calm, and the recitals, the qira'at also has to be done with peace, peacefully. And at the same time, it was mentioned that the heart of an individual also, it has to be relaxed, it has to be calm, it has to be peaceful. So, and unless that heart is peaceful, the prayer also will never be peaceful. So we have to train our hearts to be relaxed, to be eased, to be peaceful, especially during the time of prayer. And again, it was mentioned that the recitation that we do in the prayers, it's through the vocal cord, it's through the tongue that we recite. But the reality is that the heart has a spokesman, that is, the heart has to recite first, and then we just... from the sound box that we have, we say what the heart is saying. So they have to be connected, both of them, the heart and the throat of an individual, both have to be connected. So distraction should not be there. May that be in the shell of the prayer. The disturbance also should not exist in the heart of an individual. So these are little things that we have to observe. And again, it was mentioned that in a hadith, a group of mu'mineen on the day of judgment will be made to enter the hell, a group of mu'mineen. Malik, the gatekeeper of the hell, he says that these mu'mineen who are made to enter the hell, they would forget to say the name of the Prophet. Now these are mu'mineen who said the name of the Prophet, believers who used to say the name throughout their life. Now how come they forget over there and they cannot say those names? The reason for that, in this world when they said, it was this tongue That is, that was the shell of the human being, or the vocal cord of that person who recited the names of Ma'sumin, who said that La ilaha illallah. Had it been said that through the heart, if it had embraced it through the heart, if the heart had said that La ilaha illallah, or if the heart had called for the Prophet, then that would have been engraved with that individual. So, because it was only a verbal recitation or a recital or uttering the name of Allah and the Prophet, that is not guaranteed to be with us. It's exactly the same ayah which Quran says that when they came to the Prophet and they said, Qalu, that we are mu'mineen, says that, Qulu aslamna, say that you've embraced Islam, but you haven't become mu'mineen, because iman means it has to enter the heart. And in your case, the ayah says that iman, it has not yet entered your heart. So we have to be very careful. We have to train our heart so that it utters all these recitals itself, and then the tongue says. And that is why we find in riwayat, this beautiful hadith, you must have heard it. It says that man qara'a al-Qur'an wa huwa shabun mu'min ikhtalata al-Qur'an bil-lahmihi wa damih. That someone who is young, at a very young age, a child, if he recites Quran, Ma'asum says that his recitation of Quran would be as such that that Quran will mix and blend with his flesh and blood. That is, that recitation of Quran will become part and parcel of his existence, and that would never separate from that individual. So as in that case, that Quran becomes part and parcel of that existence, the same thing is with all these recitations, with Quran, with du'as, that if we say them from the depth and the core of our heart, it becomes part and parcel of our existence. If it's just a laqlaqiyya lisani, as they say, it's just a verbal uttering of those recitals, it's not guaranteed that it would stay with us until the end of our life. That's one. The other thing which is among the etiquettes of the prayers is that we have to protect this prayer, this worship, from the possession of shaitan. Shaitan, he's on the watch out. He wants to attack, and especially at the time of prayer. Why? Because prayer is that duty which brings an individual closer to Allah. And he has sworn that I will distance everyone from you, from Allah. If you look into Quran, it says that وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ, that mu'mineen, the believers, they are those who protect their prayers. How do they protect the prayers? So protection of prayers. Now this is one of those very delicate and one of the toughest etiquettes and the adab that we need to observe in prayers, and that is to protect and to safeguard this prayer from the possession or the ambush or the attack of shaitan. Now, like the body of a human being, it nourishes from food and drinks. Some food, it's very useful. Some food, it is harmful for the human body. The same way, the soul of an individual, it needs nourishment. Some of these nourishments are useful for that soul, some of it, it's harmful for that soul. Now, when it comes to the human body, the physicians, they say that if you have your meal, once you are relaxed, once you are in a good mood, once you are happy, jolly, that food would digest quickly and you would benefit from it also a lot. But if someone is tensed, is disturbed, is running around, or like what you see over here, just walking and munching, now all this food, it doesn't digest good. A person also does not benefit a lot from that food. The same thing is with morality, with spirituality. If it is something which is given to this ruh, to this soul and the heart of an individual, when it's not in a good mood, it will not benefit from it. So we have to try and do something that from the possession of shaitan, this soul of ours, this heart of ours is immune, it's protected. And among these things that we have to observe in the adab and etiquettes is that throughout the prayer, right from the takbiratul ihram until the taslim, now all this is a lesson to me first, until to the salam, it should be as such that we want Allah all the way through. Nothing else, no self-want. A worship of Allah should be there. If we have ourselves in the picture in this worship, then that is no worship of Allah, but it's a worship of our own selves. It's our own self-want, not the want and the desire to ask Allah. So for that reason, what we do, the teaching that has been given to us, which is tough, that we have to constantly keep on pumping all the filth out throughout the prayer. It's a tough task. All these different filtrations that we have to constantly focus in this prayer right up to the salam so that shaitan, he does not attack. With reference to the wandering around of moods and manners and everything and that we have in prayers, again, says that it's like the little bird which hops and chirps all around the tree. You find that this little bird, in a fraction of a second, jumps from one twig to another, one branch to another. The tawajjuh of a human being, again, in prayer, it's like that. You find that all these different things, all these different khiyalat, they come one after the other in prayers, and you find when we've done the duty, so many different things have been witnessed and seen in the prayer, especially lost things which we have lost ages and decades ago, they are found when we are saying the prayers. So it's no beauty. Now, a lady once, she called me and she said, "Maulana, mere saath bade bade maujize hote hain." I said, "Many miracles happen with me." I said, "Yes, alhamdulillah, what's that?" He says, "Whatever I lose, I find it in my prayers." So it's a great grace of Allah upon me. It's no grace. It's that shaitan who attacks at the time of prayer, and everything which is lost and which we have forgotten, they are reminded to us at the time of prayer. So we have to be careful. So when it comes to prayers, it was mentioned in that hadith that we have a shell, which is the human body, and this shell has eyes, it has mouth, it has through which we recite. So that is the material side of this human body. And we've got a soul, again, that soul has its own spokesman, which is the heart. That soul sees, which is sees the unseen with the sight and the eyes of that heart and soul. So we have to, unless we shut the material eye, the moral eye will never open. In prayers, we have to forget everything which is happening around us in the material world for us to relate and to connect with the spiritual world. So that shell has to be totally locked for us to unlock the inner self, or that material eye has to be shut for that spiritual eye to open. One of the other things, or the adab, or the etiquettes we need to observe in prayers, is that there has to be a desire, there has to be a want, or the heart of an individual, it should be active, that it wants prayers, that love, that desire, that want for the prayer has to be there. That is again among the etiquettes. Like little kids, or when children they are, babies are born, the mother, the father, they teach, they educate the baby slowly, gradually. The teaching is that we have to train our heart exactly like we train and educate a baby. That we have to teach it. It's tough, that the attention has to be stable, it shouldn't be wandering around. All these are the etiquettes that we have. And unless we have a desirous heart, a heart which wants prayers, that nuraniyat, or that enlightenment, will never be achieved. So the heart has to want, that it wants prayers. Now that it wants, when you give it to that heart, that enlightenment also will be given. We can't push the heart, we can't force the heart to prayer. We have to educate it to accept it properly. So that acceptance has to be there, and that acceptance also is through the education which we give to the heart, And that is by all these different teachings on the not increasing the knowledge of the benefits of the prayers. And again, if you remember, I think I may have mentioned over here, one of the great ulama who used to live in Kashan, Marhum Kashi, says that one of the students, when he woke up for his namaz ishab, for his nocturnal prayers, he says, I went into that madrasa, and there I see that as if the entire creation, that is that whole madrasa, the bricks of the wall, the leaves, everything present over there is saying, Subbuhun Quddusun Rabbuna Rabbul Malaikati Warruh. And says that I was amazed that how come everyone as if in one voice they are repeating the same thing. He says that, and I found that there is a source that from where this recitation has started. He says, I followed that voice and I came to this room of this Marhum Kashi, and I find him, he's in sajda, he's reciting that, and everything around him is reciting with that. And the reason for that, because that recitation was from the depth and the core of one's sincere heart, everything else in the creation of Allah also was following him. Quran says that, وَلَا يَأْتُونَ السَّلَاةِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كُسَالَى. Now this is with reference to the munafiqeen. Says that they are those who come to prayers whence they are sluggish, whence they are tired, whence they are not in the right mood and manner. Or elsewhere says that, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la taqrabu salat wa antum sukara. That, oh, those who believe, never come to prayer whence you are drunk. Sukara means whence you are intoxicated. Now normally people who are used to these drinkings, winings and dinings, they don't come to prayer. In one of these ahadith says that sukara over here means kusala. Sukara means someone who is sluggish, that someone who is saying his prayers and he doesn't know what he's saying. So the same thing, it could be applicable to us. God forbid that we stand in prayers before Allah with that mood wandering everywhere. We are saying all these recitals and we don't know what we are saying. So that ayah could be an applicable to us, that again, if you look into the riwayat, ma'asumeen, they say that never force your heart towards prayers. Make it come to the prayers. And again says that sometimes you find that the heart, it's in a good mood. Ma'asum says that when it's in a good mood, then have a quick safe deposit, and that is through prayers. And if it's not in a good mood, don't force it. Again, other riwayat, they say that when the heart is in a good mood, offer a lot of mustahab prayers. When it's not in a good mood, don't force it, because if it's going to backfire. But it doesn't mean that now keeping these riwayat and those ayat in mind, we don't do anything. We have to do, we have to train, we have to educate ourselves so that this service, this great gem that has been given to us, we benefit from it, we protect it, and we, again, Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Bahjat, he used to say that if the rulers, they knew what joy is hidden in salat, in prayers, they would leave everything which they possess and they would go towards prayers. Now, because we don't know what joy is hidden in these prayers, we don't do them as we ought to do them. We ought to perform them. Again, riwayat, they say that there is a time, a period in everyone's life when all these desires, these shahawat, and all of these animalistic issues, they are to their max. Say that the moment you find that they have subsided, they have cooled down, they have calmed down, increase and top up with prayer. So that prayer, increase your amal, your performance and your activity with prayer once you've passed that age. Don't be idle, don't be lazy, but top it up with those prayers. Again, it's the shahadat of our 10th Imam. And the afflictions, the masaib that were seen by Ma'sumin, the Ahlul Bayt in particular, no one ever saw. Again, with reference to the 10th Imam, he is killed, he is martyred, poisoned by that mal'oon. And when he is killed, the funeral prayers of this ma'soom are performed in a very oppressed and a very mazloom way. The riwayat say only one person led the prayers, and that was the Imam himself, the 11th Imam, Imam al-Askari. No one else was there in the funeral of the Imam. Look back into the passing away of Rasulullah and how everything unfolded upon that household of Wahy, and again in the headquarters of Islam, the first person of Islam, and especially when those mala'een, they come and they have that ambush, they attack the door of the household of Hazrat Zahra, and she is bashed, she is wounded, she is hit, and again that baby in her womb also passes away. Now all these afflictions, again, despite those masa'ib that were seen by her, she supports and she protects the Imam like no one. The only one who supported Imam in that very dignified and beautiful way, even in those desperate moments, is her. When Imam is taken from his house to the mosque in that very wretched way, she runs behind the Imam and says that, "Leave my husband, or leave my cousin alone, that is, leave Ali alone, or I'm going to uncover my head, I'm going to curse you." So, masaib that unfolded upon Ahlul Bayt after the demise and the passing away of Rasulullah, they were great. And it starts with the household of Wahy himself. Allahumma salla ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك على كل شيء قدير لأرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات الفاتحة مع الصلوات.